Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Gigi Smith. Gigi Smith is the Associate Professor and Associate Dean for Academics at the College of Nursing at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. Welcome, Gigi.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
It's my pleasure. So Gigi is the lead author on Epilepsy Update, which is a two-part series that will be running in the American Journal of Nursing in the May and the June issue. She wrote this piece with co-authors Janelle Wagner and Jonathan Edwards, both at the Medical University of South Carolina as well. We're very pleased to bring this series because IOM came out with a report not too long ago really underscoring the burden of epilepsy on the millions of people who are living with epilepsy in the U.S. I was very startled to see some of the facts and figures about epilepsy. But before we get into specifics about epilepsy, Gigi, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do and your expertise in this field and how you got that.
Well, thank you. Currently, I'm the Associate Dean for Academics, and we do have a wide variety of nursing programs here that I'm responsible for the educational mission. But I also practice in pediatric epilepsy, and I have been specifically practicing in pediatric epilepsy for the last 21 years. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner, and I actually became a nurse practitioner after working as a clinical nurse specialist in epilepsy and wanting to develop more skills in being able to care for families who had children with epilepsy. Along the lines, in working with family during my professional journey, I realized I wanted to really address both self and family management because in dealing with a chronic disorder like epilepsy, families really can have poor quality of life and poor health outcomes for not just the child but also for the family. And so working on interventions and making sure that we assess and help families negotiate this disorder is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we can call you an expert, I think. So in some of the stats that you presented, and I should tell our listeners that the article, as I mentioned, is in two parts. The first part in May really discusses new research about epilepsy's etiology and pathophysiology and talks about some new definitions that are changing the ways we evaluate and treat this disease. And part two, which will appear in the June issue, reviews nursing care and evidence-based treatment for epilepsy and provides some resources for working with patients and their families. So the opening sentence of the article, every 4 minutes someone in the United States is diagnosed with epilepsy. I mean, that was astounding to me. That and the other data talking about the disease burden. And quoting from the article, in terms of disability-adjusted life years, the global disease burden of epilepsy is greater than that of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis combined. That just blew me away.
Absolutely, and I can understand that because we hear a lot about Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and it's important that we do. For me and from my perspective, it's important that we also hear more about epilepsy because it is important to realize that we have 4.3 million adults in the United States who are affected with the diagnosis of epilepsy, and we also have 750,000 children under the age of 17 who are affected with epilepsy. So in a total counts, we have 5.1 million people in the United States who have a diagnosis of epilepsy or seizure disorder, and I think the problem is that when people think about epilepsy, they think about what they typically have associated with a seizure, seeing mm-hmm. someone having a tonic-clonic full-blown seizure, and that's what epilepsy is. But the issue is that it's bigger than that. In fact, I used the word disorder before, and now it's being talked about that we really need to call epilepsy a disease because seizures are one part of what goes on with epilepsy. And when you think about the brain, seizures are a symptom of what's occurring in the brain, and it represents epilepsy, but there are other things going on. There's impact on both cognitive, psychiatric, and social problems for persons with epilepsy. And that doesn't mean that every person with epilepsy is doing poorly. We have many people who do well with epilepsy, but what we do need to be aware of is what are the interventions to help people be more successful, especially when we know that most persons with epilepsy do have education above the high school level. How do we help make sure that they are part of society and that they can be active and contribute, especially when something that's unique to epilepsy is the fact that if somebody has active seizures, even just one seizure a year, it means that more than likely they aren't able to drive. Mm-hmm. And not everybody lives in a place where there's active transportation, you know, public transportation that can get people to different places. So many people are isolated. I think the other thing that's very important for me is to make sure that people understand that many times when people think about epilepsy, they also think about psychiatric illness, and so many times people are stigmatized when they have epilepsy, mm-hmm. and not that either a person with psychiatric illness or epilepsy should be stigmatized, but we very much separate the head from the body, the brain from the body, and we need to understand that these are diseases that should be treated just like we treat asthma, diabetes, mm-hmm. cancer.
Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit, if you would, I think your early point that most people, when you hear that someone has epilepsy, they immediately assume or think of, you know, and probably worry that they may be with this person. This person might have a full-blown seizure at any moment. But that's not what everybody has with epilepsy. There's sort of a continuum, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So how many is there a percentage of, you know, is it, you know, most people or just few? Or what's the percentage of people who have the full-blown epilepsy that people associate with the term?
You mean in terms of,
I mean, certainly with medication, many people are controlled, but
absolutely.
In the sense of, you know, is the majority of people who present with epilepsy present with a milder form where it's not the full-blown seizures, or do they usually present with seizures first, or the, because I know there's a range of different types of seizures.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that there are a majority of people who will respond to the first medication, and they won't have active seizures, or they might just have the occasional seizure, but we do know that there is at least one-third of the group who will continue to have very difficult-to-control seizures, and what's important about that is making sure that those persons with difficult-to-control seizures are sent to a comprehensive epilepsy center where they have the opportunity to be diagnosed, so they're offered the best options in treatment, because we have many options now for treatment in epilepsy, and we want to make sure that people have been evaluated and that they're reevaluated. I think one thing that's important to know is that because our knowledge about treatment and our ability in terms of technology changes, that many times you have to relook at something and reevaluate something to decide maybe there's a new technique or a new surgery that someone might be eligible for. So I don't think anyone should ever give up. They should go back and be reevaluated, because that can lead to better health outcomes and quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And are most people diagnosed when they're children, or do some people really get further along before they're diagnosed?
Actually, the majority of persons who have epilepsy are either diagnosed under 21, or our fastest growing population of persons with epilepsy are the elderly over 65. So those two ends have a higher percentage of persons you would see having seizures and epilepsy, whereas the middle range, not as many people are diagnosed during the adult years.
And one of the things you talked about in the article is, you know, as you said, it is a disease, but it's also a spectrum disorder in terms of the other aspects of illnesses that go along with it. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think
in terms of the cognitive disorders that might accompany it.
Right. So persons who have epilepsy have a higher risk of having, when you think about someone having something going on in the brain and you think about our ability to socialize and learn and perform tasks, so those different areas can be at risk. So children can be at risk for learning disabilities or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Many times we see that as a high comorbidity of someone who has epilepsy. In addition, persons who have epilepsy, when you think about the fact that they don't know when the next seizure is coming, they can have anxiety, and also because of the chronicity chronicity of the illness, depression. In addition to just it being the chronicity of the illness, there is we do know that the pathophysiology of depression and epilepsy is very similar. So many times there's a debate as to whether or not it's the chicken or the egg. And we do know that in children, many times before they present with their first seizure, they begin to have behavioral or school issues. Mm-hmm. And adults also can have similar type of emotional changes, and then they might start having seizures. So again, all that kind of ties mm-hmm. together. So many times you'll hear persons in research say that, researchers say that we shouldn't really call them comorbidities because they're all part of epilepsy, the disease. Mm. So
interesting. So this is, it sounds like there's just a totally new thinking about epilepsy from certainly what I learned in school 30 years ago or so. In your thinking, what's the most important thing that people need to understand about how we view epilepsy today?
To me, it's what we know is that seizures are only the tip of the iceberg. They're one piece. And when I say that, I don't mean to alarm and say that then someone who has epilepsy is going to be affected in every domain. Mm-hmm. What I mean is we should really make sure we're paying attention to and assessing as nurses how a person's coping with not only their illness, but their daily life. How are they negotiating their job, their family? How are things going, you know, in mm-hmm. working with families who experience more difficult to control seizures, having to go through constantly, you know, changing therapies, trying to negotiate with schools or with workplaces. It can be exhausting. And mm-hmm. so we have to think about the person trying to negotiate their daily living abilities, as well as the family trying to support them. How do we help them have better health outcomes with that? So I think that we need to pay attention to those pieces, and we can ask those questions to help family and try to provide resources so that mm-hmm. families can try to cope with that in a better way.
Is there a family that you've worked with that really kind of portrays this, or that comes to mind immediately when you talk about, you know, someone who's was struggling and either had success stories or just typifies the struggle that people have?
Absolutely. I have two little stories I'd like to share with you. The first is about a young man. He's now a teenager, an early teenager. He was diagnosed with Dravet syndrome, and that is a very intractable epilepsy. And it's difficult to control. And I've worked with his mom and dad for 17 years now. Yeah. And
wow.
He is actually has gone through many different medications. He's gone through the experience of the ketogenic diet. He's been evaluated for many different treatments. And what I have to say is that his parents have worked so hard to make sure that he has the schooling and the training in terms of skills to help him do the best that he can do. And that's all happened because we all work together as a team on both on the family management issues and also ensuring that they thought about their other children and how do they negotiate everyday life and how do they make sure that they get to do things as a family. And, you know, this mom has become a true advocate, not just for her son but for other children, and she actually teaches in the public school system and is just, she's a total inspiration, I think, to the people that she interacts with. And her son is doing the best that he can, and they have really good family life. Do they have challenges? They do, but she's really learned how to use her resources, and they've worked together as a family, as a team, to have that happen. So mm-hmm. I think that that's a great outcome for a very difficult epilepsy. I also have another young man who I first met when he was school age, and he had a very difficult frontal lobe epilepsy, and we were able to figure out that it was a very small area where the seizures were coming from, and it did not affect any eloquent functional areas of his brain. So he was able to have a resection, and he became seizure-free, and he's now in medical school.
That's
so
awesome.
And he plans to be a neurologist, and that is just the most exciting, you know, thing. And to mm-hmm. hear about, here you've heard both someone who came under control and became what we call quote-unquote cured, mm-hmm. and someone who continues to struggle, and yet we have very good outcomes because we worked on resources mm-hmm. and family management.
Mm. Well, those are great stories that really represent the whole gamut, as you said. So I hope our listeners will read the article either in print or online or on the iPad through our app. I'm looking forward to part two and looking at the treatment and seeing just all the advances that you detailed there. So so thank you for talking with us at this point in the article, and perhaps we can come back in June and talk a little bit about the new treatments.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gigi.